Listen now for the word of God. This is a reading from the book of Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James' brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking to him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for you to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up. Do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Amen. May God bless our hearing and our understanding of the good news. I went to a training this week up near Seattle to train with other interim ministers about what it means to be in this time of transition with you all as your pastor. And I took the Amtrak up to Seattle, and then I thought, well, I would just take the bus over to Bellevue, which on the map looks like a really short... So anyway, it's a ways. And I had a lot of time to observe in between waiting for the bus on the train and then waiting again what people do when they're waiting for something to happen. Some people look in their iPhone, and like a mirror, you know, they turn it to themselves, so they're kind of looking and checking out how they're looking. Some people connect with other people. They talk on their phone, or they text, or they chat with other people around them. Some people look around, kind of check out what's going on in the clouds or the cars going by. Some people concentrate furiously on a book or a device or something, like they don't want anyone to notice them. Some people sigh with impatience. I actually saw someone tap her foot. I haven't seen that for a long time. She was so impatient, she tapped her foot. And others seem to accept that no matter how long they're waiting, the bus will just come when it arrives. Some people sit around and look at what other people are doing, evidently. Look, this waiting time, whether you're waiting for a new pastor or waiting for a new liturgical season to begin, Lent is next week, can seem like wasted time, and we have the choice, the option, of how we approach these in-between waiting times. It can also be a thin place. According to Celtic spirituality, a thin place is one of those rare locales where the distance between heaven and earth collapses. The chapters just before the one we read in Matthew today are bustling with action. Jesus has just fed a multitude with loaves and fishes, and then he's gone before the Pharisees and been tested by them. In the next part of the book of Matthew, he will heal a boy with demons, and then he will give an economics lesson. And then there's this weird little moment and all of that action and bustling where Jesus goes up the mountain to pray. In prayer, he is transfigured. Transfigured. His face is changed, shining. And Elijah, representing the prophets of Judaism, the faith of these disciples, and Moses, representing the law, appear to the men. And in that moment, they have a choice. What are we going to do now? As part of my training, I've been rereading the book by William Bridges called Transitions. If you have a name like William Bridges, don't you think you just have to write a book called Transitions? So I wonder, what came first, the name or the... Anyway, He says it's not the change itself. It's not when something old dies or leaves and something new is born or begins that's difficult. It's that time in between, that transition in between when the old thing has passed away and the new thing has not yet come about. It can be boring. In other gospel versions of this transfiguration story, the disciples fell asleep. It can be overwhelming. We can be uncertain how to act. We can make mistakes. You here at First Congregational are in such a place. In an interim time, there can be weariness, there can be discomfort, uncertainty, but there can also be moments of pure clarity in which you see and understand exactly the work that God has called you to do. It can be tempting sometimes to stay here in this place of transition, this in-between place, this mountaintop. But Jesus is on the move, and so are we, his followers. Peter wants to stay there in that in-between place on the mountain between the action. He was so into it that he offered to build buildings for Jesus and Moses and Elijah so they could all stay there. He was so in awe, so inspired, that the thought of going back down the mountain and returning to the world and the ordinary life sounded bad to him. Peter experienced transition as a beautiful, a restful, a shiny place. He had a powerful spiritual experience, a thin place. He was in a thin place. But here's the thing. Jesus with Elijah and Moses doesn't live up there on the mountain. Up there where the air is thin, it's easier to see his shining face. But Jesus lives not only in the in-between place, in the waiting, in the transition, but here, with the people, the ones like you and me who need teaching and healing and compassion and justice and all that Jesus offers. It can be tempting to stay in the interim place, just like it can be tempting to stay on the mountain. But we're not meant to reside here. We're just waiting. Waiting for the next bus to come so we can get on it and see what it has in store for us. Tom Schumann writes this reflection on the transfiguration. He says, I don't know if the transfiguration really happened, as we are told, but I believe that the story is in the gospel for a reason. That it says something to us about how following Jesus will transform our lives in unexpected ways. About how we are granted visions of the kingdom in everyday life. I don't know if God spoke in a voice which Peter and the others could clearly understand. But I do trust that God speaks to us if we are willing to open ourselves up, that the voice of God is heard in the voices of children, in the questioning doubts of teenagers, in the stories of wise ones who are only too willing to share if we would just stop and sit down and listen. I don't know if what Matthew tells us is an actual event or an allegory. But I do know that I am called to act on what I believe and trust in this story, which is that in Jesus I catch glimpses of what God is doing in the world. That in Jesus I see someone I want to follow, not just here and now in this breath between, but for the rest of my life. That with Jesus, I find myself on mountaintops and in valleys and in every place in between, but never alone. And to move through and beyond this transition place, I need to trust what God is saying, that the world can be transformed from darkness to light, even as I can, that love is stronger than hate, that I am loved even when others tell me differently, that goodness is a path I am meant to walk, that my community of faith will help me along the way. May it be so for all of us. Amen.